So Melissa's going to sort of take us through the first bit of, well, quite a bit of the agenda. Sort of, she's our tried and true person here who's done this before. And so I'm handing the reins to her to really sort of make sure that we're all clear on what's new and what's changed and how it will look this year. So Melissa, without further ado.
Thank you, Philip. And I just wanted to double check, we are recording. Okay, great. So just to let everyone know that we are recording this. So if you have to jump off at a certain time or anything, there will be a recording posted on the website. So yeah, just thank you all for being here. Like Philip said, this is the not the first year we're doing this, but it does change every year. So thanks for tuning in to see what is new and exciting this year. I like to start just by kind of framing us with the goals of the campaign and why the Colorado Media Project does this. We do this campaign to help Colorado newsrooms build trust and transparency by spotting the vital public service they provide to our communities. So the campaign itself is it's an awareness campaign. Some of you might already be doing this in your communities and kind of talking about yourself and the role that you play and the vital news and information ecosystem in your community. But if not, this is an opportunity to start doing that and to really kind of calling attention to the role that you play, which we all know is very vital. It's also to help Colorado newsrooms increase financial support from individuals. This campaign we modeled off of a national campaign some of you might be familiar with if you're a nonprofit newsroom. The Institute for Nonprofit News runs a campaign at the year end called News Match, and it's been highly effective over the last five years. Laura would know. Laura's the board chair for INN, actually, and it is very successful in helping newsrooms raise individual dollars from their communities. So by having a match, you can leverage support. Everyone loves a challenge, as our folks at Public Media have taught us over the last 50 years. So it's not rocket science, but you can double your dollars with a matching grant, and people really like that. And also, just speaking with my hat on as a foundation, a lot of nonprofit newsrooms really are eager to help newsrooms increase their individual subscriptions, donations, and reader revenue. And also, we want to be working on building what we call a membership mindset with the newsrooms that we're working with, and really thinking about how to approach community members as members, not just subscribers or readers, but as members who you want to create a relationship with all year round and have an ongoing and two-way communication stream with. So how we have done this over the past 3 years, 2 years, in 2018, the Media Project put out $5,000 grants to, or matching challenge to 7 Colorado newsrooms. We had a competitive application process then as well. And it was the first, the biggest aspiration we had was just to get 7 newsrooms in a room and say, what could we do to amplify one another and the great work that you're doing, and really kind of give each other pats on the back and a vote of confidence for this coalition of really great news that we had just kind of starting up. So those newsrooms got together and they decided to write a joint appeal that they all kind of co-signed and sent to their readers, really kind of making the case for the first time that this was a movement and a movement worth supporting. In 2019, last year, we offered $5,000 grants again. Thanks to generous supporters, we were able to support 18 different newsrooms. And for the first time, actually, I guess we did this in 2018, but we really didn't limit it to nonprofit newsrooms, and we accepted small locally owned newspapers, and so worked with them on kind of how to create that campaign a little to the side of the Newsmatch campaign. And then for some case studies on how that went, and if any of you visited or joined us, I don't know, what was it, 2 weeks ago, Philip, now? We had I see Tammy here and some others who participated last year, worked with Andrew to create these case studies and really share some, and I see Kimberly and some others that participated in the case studies. So we have some really good tips from some of your fellow newsrooms at this URL. Just for inspiration, these were the 18 newsrooms that participated last year. Can kind of get a sense of the geographic distribution. We really tried to encourage newsrooms from all over the state to participate. Last year, we partnered really, hold on just 1 second. Sorry, my little girl's downstairs and we have echoey house. So last year, we were really lucky to partner again with the Newsmatch campaign. They let us use, kind of adapt their collateral for use here in Colorado. So for those of you who do Newsmatch, we try to do collateral that kind of color coordinates or has kind of the same, a similar theme. And so these were actual messages that we got together as the 18 Colorado newsrooms kind of got together and talked about messaging and what's worked with them for their own appeals. And this is kind of what we came up with. So this year will be different. So if you don't like it, no big deal. So 2020, what else is new? Well, we think that this year is going to be a pretty special opportunity for newsrooms to really tell their story about the importance that they're about the important role that they're playing in their local communities. Local journalism has really helped meet some unprecedented crises. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, so I don't have to belabor this too much, but just the role, these are always really good messages to think about when you're doing your year-end campaign. You really want to spotlight the quality journalism that you have been doing in your COVID coverage, covering public health and not just the public health crisis, but also the economic opportunities and crisis and recovery. Some of the great journalism that's been going on, covering the national reckoning for racial justice. The media has been all over that story, countering misinformation and disinformation in the 2020 election. So just all the things that you've been doing to increase voter awareness and answer questions about that people have about voting in the 2020 election. And then also just addressing issues of trust and transparency. As we all know, misinformation on social media and trusted sources of local news, like the ones that you represent, become all that much more important. So kind of differentiating yourself from kind of the chatter of social media is always a good thing to highlight. So, and for the first time, we're also, kind of thinking about this in two tiers of participation. Last year, like I said, we really focused on the 18 newsrooms that we selected for the matching grant, and everyone kind of used the same collateral and did the campaign that way. This year, thanks to Laura Frank, who is on the call with us, maybe Laura can wave. But she is the executive director for CoLab, and CoLab is a coalition of over 50 local newsrooms. Many of you are a part, but there are some of the biggest newsrooms in the state. Not all of them do year-end fundraising, but we're really encouraging those CoLab newsrooms to join us. And I know that some of them are already thinking about how they might lift up these this messaging and even drive people to the campaign landing page, even if they're not doing fundraising of their own. We are really excited about the potential for that. We won't know until we get all the applications in who is joining in the campaign itself, but we're really letting encouraging all newsrooms, and I'll go over some eligibility details in just a moment, but all newsrooms who are eligible can participate in the awareness campaign. They'll have access to the campaign collateral and templates that'll be created through CoLab and our partners at News Revenue Hub. And then they can, you can all use your own call to action, whether that's subscribe, listen, watch, engage, donate, whatever your call to action is. The campaign collateral and messaging will be flexible enough that you can use whatever is appropriate for you in your community. So that's kind of the awareness campaign. But the nonprofit and Colorado-owned newspapers are eligible for a $5,000 matching grant from the Media Project. And in addition to that, the cohort that is selected for the grant will be the ones to participate with News Revenue Hub. And I'll talk a little bit more about them in just a second, but they are a very experienced and lauded group that works with newsrooms across the country and is has some really great training and coaching available for the newsrooms around campaign planning and cohort support. And in addition, CoLab and myself and Philip at the Media Project will be able to offer those in the cohort individualized campaign review and coaching. So like if you have, we've worked in the past, you know, to review, you know, letters that are going out or people want feedback on the timing of how their campaign rolls out, and we're available for you in that capacity as well. So just a quick recognition here of the funding partners, you know, 18 to 20 grants of 5,000 each adds up pretty quickly. And so we're really honored to have these foundations providing the underwriting support for all that. Bohemian and Delta Dental of Colorado Foundation and Gates, of course, were all state level funders. And then Democracy Fund is a major national partner of ours that is really supportive of the CoLab and the Media Project. In addition, the program partners, obviously Philip and I from the Media Project will be involved and available. Laura Frank from CoLab is also leading the kind of training portion of this, along with News Revenue Hub. CoLab has a contract with News Revenue Hub to provide the training for this cohort and to produce the collateral that we'll all be using. Newsmatch, as I mentioned, is a national campaign that is a very complementary campaign that we designed ours off of. And if you're a nonprofit newsroom that's already signed up to be a part of Newsmatch, we'll be coordinating there. And then Rose Community Foundation is the fiscal sponsor of the Colorado Media Project. And Kelly and Katie are on the line with us if you guys want to wave. We will be hearing from Kelly a little bit later about the application, because if you're applying for a matching grant, you will be going through the Rose Community Foundation grant request portal, which is new. These are folks who are not on the call, but we just wanted to flash them up there. These are all our colleagues from News Revenue Hub who will play various roles in supporting this program. And just a little bit more about News Revenue Hub. Like I said, they're going to be doing some of the heavy lifting by helping partners implement their mission-driven fundraising models. They also partner, they're also the lead partner with the National Newsmatch campaign. And then they will be developing the customizable collateral that we will be using for the campaign. So benefits, I think I've gone over this a number of times, but all the selected newsrooms will receive all the collateral and the templates, the planning timelines that can be used to support your year-end campaign. Grantees will also be participating in 4 cohort meetings via Zoom and receive individualized coaching support from News Revenue Hub and CoLab. So part of the benefit, I think, of being in this program and doing it at the statewide level is really thinking with your colleagues about how to leverage and make this beneficial for the whole, for the ecosystem, and kind of a raising all boats. So we'll be, News Revenue Hub and CoLab will be leading those meetings. And so here's a little, we're gonna get into a little bit of the nitty gritty here now about the eligibility. This is for everything. This is to be a part of the campaign, to use the collateral, to and then also, you know, beyond that, to be eligible for a matching grant. You must be a Colorado newsroom that is regularly publishing high quality fact-based public service journalism. You also must apply high journalistic standards for accuracy and fairness. This doing things like openly correcting errors and labeling opinion, commentary, and sponsored content. You have to have editorial independence and avoid conflicts of interest, including funders or partners or others that you work with that would compromise the integrity of your journalism. Publications with points of view may be accepted on a case-by-case basis, but they should be producing original reporting that does not misrepresent facts or selectively publish stories, and no cause-related journalism. So these are all pretty standard. We take them from the Institute for Nonprofit News, which is really a standard bearer in deciding, you know, who becomes a member in that membership organization. And so we just kind of piggyback on their guidelines for who is accepted. Just 1 minute, please. Okay, thank you. Eligibility for the matching grant. So anyone who participates in the campaign and uses the collateral has to meet those other standards. This is just for the matching grant, and we're really limiting this to nonprofit newsrooms or Colorado-owned and operated newsrooms. And the reason for that is that the local ownership, it just has more control over the way that these contributions are used. And so we need to be cautious about using grant funds if you're not a nonprofit, we're kind of cautious, and we have another level of scrutiny that we have to give to your news organization just to make sure that it's used for public benefit, that the grant dollars are used for public benefit. And we'll go into a little bit more in a second. So the selection priorities, we will have the reviewers will include representatives from the funders will be making the decisions. So you know, we like to let you guys know that just so that you don't get mad at Laura or anyone else that is running the program. They're actually going to be running the program, so we want to keep the funding decisions away from them. So just know that Philip and I and Kelly, actually, I'm sorry, Katie and one of our friends from Delta Dental will be making those decisions. But we'll be looking for a few things. For one, we're looking for newsrooms where a $5,000 matching grant and another $5,000 that hopefully you'll raise from your community would be a significant help to helping you meet your year-end revenue goals. This kind of encourages you know, those that are newer to fundraising, or if you haven't tried this yet, you know, that shouldn't be a barrier. If anything, you know, it would be a good program for you to start thinking about and trying some of that reader revenue type of appeals. And then, does the applicant have an interest in learning new fundraising skills with peers through cohort participation? We are designing this as a program, not just a matching grant. And so there is some level of expectation that you're either participating to share your fundraising expertise, because we know that some of you, even on the call, have quite a bit of fundraising expertise to share. And we really believe that peer learning is really powerful, and sharing stories about what's worked or what hasn't, or tips and techniques is valuable to the cohort too. So we'll be looking for people who are looking to learn from peers, and also those who are looking to share from peers. The fine print is, hold on one second. Thank you. Sorry, my kids are deciding to like bake in the kitchen right now. So like, if you can hear that. The matching grant period is going to take place. We're going to make decisions by the beginning. You know, the applications are due next Monday by 5 p.m. But we'll be making decisions pretty quickly, and we'll have our first meeting with the cohort in the beginning of October. But we'll have about two months to plan with you. We'll have two cohort meetings where we'll do some planning. News Revenue Hub, CoLab, and CMP will be around to help you think through your year-end plan, which is really exciting, because like last year we had like literally no time. It was just like we gave the grants and then we turned right around and did the campaign. So this, we've gotten ahead of things and we're feeling really good that we have 2 months to plan with you all and help set you up for success. So the actual campaign itself is going to run through December 1st and December 31st. So you'll have a full month to raise that $5,000 from your community. We always launch it on Giving Newsday. It's like Giving Tuesday, but they call it Giving Newsday, or at least people at Newsmatch have decided to call it that. So we call it that as well. Usually, like I said, through the campaign planning process, we'll come up with some neat thing to do or some message to send out or something to probably maybe do in unison or something like that. But CMP will match all contributions from individuals of $1,000 or less during the match period. So this is really to encourage you. We know that you could go out theoretically and just go get a $5,000 major gift from someone in your community and say, okay, I've met the match. But the News Match program and this News Colorado Needs statewide matching program is really more targeted at helping you raise smaller dollar individual gifts. Using that skill set, it's different than kind of major gift fundraising. If you're at all familiar with some of the different types of philanthropic fundraising. So this campaign is really intended to get you to tell your story to your readers and get some of those small dollar gifts. So we'll match anything during the match period, a gift of up to $1,000 or less. So, and then individuals may not receive any additional benefit, just news. So this can't be like if you're behind a paywall, it can't be that they're getting a subscription for that amount. Like it needs to be like it would have to be a gift over and above a subscription. So if your subscription costs, you know, if you're selling your subscription for $10 a month, if they gave you a $20 a month gift, you could count the philanthropic portion toward the match. And if you have a question about that, let's loop around because I want to make sure I just said that correctly. So if you have questions about that, we can talk later one-on-one. And then for-profit newsrooms just must clearly state that the intended use for the contributions is public service journalism, and that contributions are not tax deductible. So sometimes, we've had a little bit of questioning, because not everyone in the cohort is a nonprofit, and some of us are using very language that is very similar to nonprofit fundraising. We don't want to say things like your donation or your, you know, I think there's some language that we used last year and that we help coach those for-profit newsrooms to use, and we can resurface some of that and help you through that about the acceptable way to solicit gifts if you're a for-profit newsroom. So the application process, like I said before, Colorado newsrooms that are eligible for a matching grant can apply through the grants portal at Rose Community Foundation. And I'm gonna, right before we go to questions, I'm gonna hand it over to Kelly and ask him to just talk a little bit about the portal and give you any pointers that he wants to give. Colorado newsrooms that do not qualify for a grant, but they want to participate in the awareness campaign should apply at this URL. Both of these are also easily accessible from the Colorado Media Project website. And then both applications, I just want to give you a heads up, they include a short round of questions about your current audience, your revenue streams, and your staffing levels. This is for us to get a baseline and to track our program impact year over year. So that we know, so that we can kind of tell our funders who are donating to the program, what the impact of their gift was. So we estimate it probably shouldn't take you more than a half an hour, I think. If you can gather, you could probably log in or, you know, go preview all the questions and gather up the answers and then come back and sit down and just put in your responses. The deadline to apply via either application, you don't want to do both. I should correct my sentence here. Via either application, both of them are due 5 p.m. Mountain Time on next Monday. Only submit one. You do not have to submit both. They're the same questions whether you are applying for the grant or not. And then just in summary, this is the URL for the details and eligibility. Both applications are due next Monday by 5. We will notify matching grant recipients and everyone who's joining us in the awareness campaign by October 5th. The requirements for grantees are the four participation in the four cohort meetings with News Revenue Hub. Those will be held by Zoom and the dates are right there. The grantee, we will have group brainstorming and a planning meeting in October, campaign preparation session in November, a mid-campaign check-in in December, mid-December, and a group debrief meeting. And then grantee reports will be due January 22nd. And just a heads up for those of you participating in the News Match program, we are coordinating with News Match to make our reporting process either exactly the same or as similar as possible to their questions they're using. So just like last year, you should be able to submit your reports to NewsMatch because they do offer a much bigger match pool. So we understand that you want to get your stuff in there. And we can work with the Miami Foundation to verify your matches. For those of you who aren't participating in NewsMatch, you'll turn those in to Philip. You'll turn them in via the application system that you use, the system you use to apply through the Rose portal. And those will be due by January 22nd, 2021. And then we aim to distribute the funds no later than February 2021. There is a, if there is some reason that you want to try and get your match, you've met your match, it's like December 15th, you've met your match, you're really eager to get that money in hand, we can work with you if you meet your match early. We can take your, you know, we can verify your matches and release funds earlier than February 2021. But just know that the grantee reports are going to be asking about your total revenue generated in calendar year 2020. So you won't be able to submit your impact reports until you're until you've closed the books on your 2020 fundraising year. And then additional resources. We have an FAQ on our website. There's also a very clear project timeline. We also have the aforementioned case studies that Andrew from CMP put together with some of our cohort members from last year, and then details on the eligibility requirements and links to both applications. And with that, I do want to turn it over and say that we are also resources. So if you have questions, Philip or myself or Kelly, who I'm going to hand it over to right now, especially he is your guy for any questions about the portal. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Kelly, and then we'll open it up for all of your questions momentarily.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. I am Kelly Costello. I'm the grants manager at Rose Community Foundation, and I am going to share my screen. Can you all see the screen? Okay. So I am going to drop in the chat in case you want to open up or link, bookmark this link. That this is the same link that Melissa had in the slides that will go out. And when you log in to, or when you go to this webpage, you'll see in this top corner a blue button to log on or create an account to apply. If you already have an account and can't remember your password or are having trouble getting in, please let me know. I'm happy to help you with that. And if your organization has never gone through our online grants portal, you can go ahead and create an account. Again, if you have any issues or questions, just let me know. On this page, you'll see just a very brief update about the opportunity, but not the actual questions. So once you log in, you'll be taken to the application that has a few different sections, as Melissa mentioned. The instructions will have a lot of that same information around different requirements and timeline. And then in each section, you'll see there's a handful of questions, and really just go through and mark them all. Some of them have character limits, so you know, we want you to be concise, but make sure that you are able to communicate everything you need us to know. I won't go through all the questions, but they are all there. If you are interested in seeing what all of the questions are in one spot, up in this corner, there's a little button here for question list in the top right corner. That will actually bring you to a PDF version that will have all of the questions. So if it's helpful to have this, to be working on it offline and then come and paste all your information in, you are welcome to do that. Most of the questions are required. So if you have any questions about specific questions on the application or how to submit, please let me know. I will also go ahead and put my contact information in the chat in case it's helpful to save it there. But that is the super brief overview of what the actual application will look like once you log in. Hopefully it's fairly intuitive, but I am always happy to answer emails or phone calls as things come up.
Okay, thank you, Kelly. Now we're going to open it up for questions, and anyone can just jump in there if you have a question.
How many organizations do you expect to fund this year, and what's the pool of money that's available?
So we've allocated to be able to take at least 18 again. It's my hope that we'll get so many great applications that it'll be so hard to make decisions that we'll have to up that and figure out how to find a little more. But because I always want to go up in the number that we're doing. So we did 18 last year. So I'm hoping maybe about 20. But we'll kind of have to see what the pool of applicants looks like, really.
Thank you. And when I apply, does that mean that it's also automatically applying us for the awareness campaign as well?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you don't have to do anything separate for that.
Thanks.
Good question. Anyone else have questions?
Hi, it's Dave Sabatos with Denver North Star.
Hey, Dave.
I had a question about the someone who gives money can't get any other benefit besides news point criteria. And specifically, we did this last year as a membership drive, and we've had some advertisers offer, say, free ice cream coupons to members who sign up with our publication, or free t-shirt to VIP members. Does that sort of gift to membership violate the criteria you're going for, or is that separate? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And you could tell I was kind of waffling on this maybe when I went through the thing, because I couldn't remember. Like, if you did that last year, it's probably okay again this year. But like, I want to go back and talk with my colleagues at Newsmatch just to verify some of those questions, because really this is a unique program in the country. Mm-hmm. Like, we're the only ones that we know of nationwide that are doing this with nonprofit and for-profit smaller newsrooms. So we're really exploring, we're kind of taking those questions almost like on a case-by-case basis and looking at how you're presenting it and kind of the language that you use when you're describing the benefit.
Okay, I can email you then, thank you.
Okay, great.
Is this restricted to donations from people living in Colorado?
No, you can, it doesn't have to be a local donor if you have an, what's your news outlet, Jake?
The Colorado News Connection, we're a division of Public News Service, so we are owned and operated out in Colorado, but we also operate news networks nationally, and so our donor base is national.
Okay. I would say, like, for a national, if you're, operating nationally, I mean, like, Chalkbeat has the same kind of situation, but really it's intended for you to be publicizing locally. So like, I wouldn't imagine that this would be appropriate for, like, if you were gonna be fundraising all in all your sites, like, if that makes sense. So you could use it here with your Colorado outlets, but not to raise funds for your other.
Right, it would be to promote our Colorado-based journalism.
But you could have a funder, like, if they, we have some newsrooms who, have their donors have second homes or things like that. So we don't really look at the location that it's coming from, per se.
Thank you.
Hi, Melissa. It's Jerry Healy.
Hey, Jerry.
Colorado Community Media. Could you review, for the for-profit companies, can you review again what you see as public service journalism?
Yeah, so I'll, this is, the journalism that you guys are putting out, like, that is in service to your community. I mean, I think we just use that term to kind of differentiate between news, journalism and kind of advocacy communications. So we're really trying to serve journalism entities that are kind of adhering to, like, the Society of Professional Journalists or the Institute for Nonprofit News definition of a journalism outlet. So that's the educational public service value that you bring to your community is really what we're trying to sustain through the program. And Laura, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I did. Sorry, I've been off camera. You guys didn't want to see me eat lunch, and that's what I was doing because this is the time I have to do it. But another aspect of that, Jerry, was just making sure that, especially for the for-profit organizations, that they wouldn't take donations and then, stop spending money they were already spending on producing journalism. In other words, pocket some of the cash that, not that we would ever think you would do something like that, but it was part of the thinking that we want to make sure that this goes to increase the amount of journalism, not to subsidize a similar or even lesser amount of journalism.
Yeah. And I think Jerry did a really creative thing last year. If I'm not mistaken, Jerry, you talked about to your community that you were trying to get a match to do a specific thing. Like, I think you were trying to raise $10,000 to get video and photography, still and video cameras for your newsroom, and that was like a real concrete yes. benefit. And I think that's a really great way to communicate that, especially if you are, a for-profit. Like, what is the exact thing that you want to raise money for, if you know what it is? I mean, you don't always know, but sometimes others have, like, said they want to hire a new reporter, or they want to, make sure that they can sustain a reporter in, COVID coverage, or, other things that you guys are doing. You could kind of frame it that way. So hopefully that's helpful.
All right. Thank you. That's helpful.
Any other questions you guys have? And if not, that's okay. I told Philip and Laura and the others that I was hoping this would end early so I can give you some time back in your day. And if you have questions, feel free to reach out. Philip is going to be posting the slide deck on our landing page on our Colorado Media Project website. And he and Kelly in particular are here to answer any questions about the application. Laura is definitely available to answer questions about the kind of cohort work, because CoLab is really going to be the place where the newsrooms come together to design that campaign and kind of create the collateral, and it should be a lot of fun. So hopefully that'll be a benefit to you guys.
Yeah, I would just say, if any of you are not signed up to participate in CoLab, please do, because we have weekly meetings, Zoom meetings, and we'll be going over a lot of this there. And you can go to colabnews.co and sign up to get on all our communications.
Great. Well, good. Well, thank you to everyone for spending some time with us. And if you have any questions, just reach out.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.